this door. Third grade and down, going with Miss Joy to study the Word back in the fellowship hall. There you go. If you're staying in here, grab your copies of God's Word on your phone, tablet, hard copy, whatever you got. Turn with me to Romans 3. Romans 3. Glad you're here this morning. Are you glad to be here? Yeah, me too. We're going to look at two verses. I was planning on finishing up this chapter, but we're just going to look at verses 29 and 30 today. And whether you're a Christian, and as Christians, we should be constantly wrestling with how to share our faith, constantly asking the question of what do we need to do to share our faith, and how do we need to go about this? These two verses should help us. So if that's you, be ready just to kind of take in these two verses and be encouraged in your sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning. And be even more firmly planted in that. If you're here, you're listening, and you're skeptical of Christianity, or you're skeptical about the person and work of Jesus, this too is for you. Because I would imagine if that's you and you're unsure about Christianity, these two verses are going to address some common questions that are constantly coming up in our world today, and in our country today. And so, whether you're a Christian, you're trying to share your faith, or you're not a Christian, and you're just trying to wrap your mind around exactly who Jesus is, this should encourage us today. So, you ready to dive into the Word? All right, well, let's pray, and then we will dive in into these two verses today. Father, we ask that you would be with our children this morning as they gather to study your word in a way that they can comprehend. We pray that you would speak to their hearts, you would grow their faith in you, you would lead the ones that have yet to repent of their sins and believe in Jesus. We pray that you would lead them to that. God, we pray for our own hearts this morning as we open your word here, or as we listen by radio or on the internet. God, we pray that you would work on our hearts, that you would use this time in your word to make us more like you, to lead us to love you more, to see more clearly your glory and your beauty, and to trust you more. God, we pray for those who may be gathering with us in some shape, form, or fashion this morning that are skeptical of your word, of who your son is, of what he's done for them. God, we pray that you would use your word this morning, Holy Spirit, and you would convict them of your truth, of your righteousness, and of their sin, and they would come running to you this morning in repentance and faith. And Lord, we pray for those who are homebound or nursing homes or places like that, in the hospital this morning, or grieving with loved ones, or taking care of loved ones who are sick this morning. God, we just pray that you would minister to them in a special way. You would make them aware of your presence with them, increase their faith in you, remind them of the hope they have in Jesus. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Romans chapter 3. Let's back up and just kind of read this whole paragraph. And again, as I said a moment ago, we're going to zoom in on verses 29 and 30 here. Begin with reading with me in verse 27 of Romans chapter 3. It says, "Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by the law. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also, since God is one, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised by faith. We're going to pause there. Two verses, 29 and 30, poses a question, or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also. First piece of truth this morning is this. There is one God. Just one. For those of us who grew up in church, this may seem like, well, that's like pre-K Sunday school. And on one level it is, but church, we need to be reminded of this truth. There is only one God. This question that he poses, or is God the God of the Jews only, is a question referring to a single group of people, the Jewish people, and it's asking, is God only their God? In other words, they have their God. It's the God of the Bible, and the God of the Bible has only one group of people, and that's the God of the Jews. Meaning, either all these other people in the world don't have a God at all, or they have some other God. And the answer to the question is he not the God of the Gentiles also? Yes, of the Gentiles also. So what we're looking at, and if you're unfamiliar with some of the words in the New Testament, I want to explain these two words that we're seeing here. The Jews were the people that God chose to bring a Savior into the world. So when we see words like the Jewish people or the Israelites or God's people in the Old Testament, that is the group of people it's talking about. When we see the word Jews in the New Testament, that is the group of people that it's talking about. Jesus was one of those people. He was a Jewish man. Now we see this other word pop up in the Bible from time to time, at times in the Old Testament, lots in Romans, the Gentiles. The Gentiles refers to all the other nations that were not the Jews. So when you put these two groups of people together, the Jews, small group of people, the Gentiles, a huge group of people made up of all the other nations, you're talking about the whole world. So when Paul asks this question in verse 29, he says, is God the God of the Jews only, that one group of people, or is he also the God of the Gentiles? He's asking, is God God of the Jews only, or is he? That's the question. And the answer is yes, of Gentiles. So he's saying, yes, he is the God of not just the Jews, but the entire world. So there's one God for everybody. And that was for everybody then, that is for everybody today, and that is for everybody that will ever live. There is one God. He is the God, and he is there, our God. Romans 9:24, it says, even us whom he has called, not from the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles. Romans 10:12 says, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. Sometimes in Romans, we see Paul use the word Greek, and he's kind of using it in the same way he uses Gentiles. He's just talking about all the other people in the world. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. Romans 15:9 says, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. All over Scripture, all over Scripture. You go to Psalms and read through it, all over Scripture. God is the only God, and He is the God over all people. So just let's do some logic for a second. If the Bible tells the truth, which we believe it does, saying that there is only one God, that means the God of this Bible is the only God, right? And created everything. And everything, all of creation exists to the praise of His name alone. Because He's the only God, right? Every knee will bow to Him alone, and every tongue will confess His lordship alone, right? Now, we must see the significance of this. Be reminded of the significance of this. Teenagers, if you're in here, like young people in general, like if you're in here, like let this soak down deep into your mind and your heart, because generally speaking, this is not what your peers believe. I'm saying that to condemn them, I'm saying that so that you know the Bible says this and they believe that and they're wrong. So I'm saying this for your sake and your own heart's sake, for my sake, my own heart's sake, but also for the hearts of those that we are ministering to and sharing the gospel with. There is only one God. We have, me and my family, we've begun, well, I think the kids are tired of it now, so like Charlotte and I just got into it, but now they've moved on. We started watching MasterChef Junior, and there's like, it's amazing. They're like 8 to 13 years old, and they cook meals that are better than any restaurant I've set foot in. It's amazing. And I question it. I do. I question whether they really cook those meals or not. But anyway, it's neither here nor there. So there, it starts off with like 20 or 25 kids, and the kids get really excited when they narrow it down to just 10 kids. Because it's significant. They say every time they kick a kid off the show, it's kind of sad, but he says, "You're still one of the best chefs in America." But when they get down to the top 10, they're like, "Man, I just can't wait. I'm going to make it into the top 10. But then after they get through the top 10, it narrows down to, of course, just one winner. And even the kids who got kicked off the show are so excited for the kid who wins, because that kid is the only, for that season anyway, the only Master Chef Junior. There's just one. Our nation's in a complete frenzy right now, because after January, there is still going to be only one president. It's significant that there's just one. Church, there's just, and I know we agree on this, but we need to just hear this. This is why the Bible says it over and over again. There is only one God. And just as if the president were to visit Cairo, there would be it would be a massive deal, because there's only one president. So we should take in the significance of this. When we hear this truth in God's word, take in the significance of this. That as a child of His, who's placed faith in His Son for the forgiveness of your sin, you get to bow your heart before Him and speak to the only God. When you open this Bible, you get to read the words, not any gods, but you get to read the words of the only God. When we sing together, we stand or we sit and we sing and raise our voices together. We raise our voices to the only God. When we pray before we open the Word and we ask the Holy Spirit to minister to hearts, to actually take His Word and make us more like Him, we can pray and ask those things because we're speaking to the only God. There is only one God. Christian, when we share our faith, you're sharing news, of course, about one God, but you're not only sharing news about one God, you're sharing news about the only God. And you may very well be speaking to people, you probably will be speaking to people that either don't believe that there's a God at all, and you're saying, yes, there is one. Or you're speaking to people that aren't sure or may even believe that there's many gods. And you just get to choose which one you follow. And you get to say, no, there's only one. And you can know Him. You can know the only one that there is. If you're here today and you're skeptical of Christianity, you're skeptical of Jesus, perhaps you've been influenced by the world enough to begin to wonder or think maybe Jesus is just one of many. Just want to communicate very clearly with you this morning. Out of love, because we love you, there's only one God. And you can know Him through Jesus. That's awesome. That's awesome. He's perfect and just. He's loving and gentle, patient and merciful. He's all-powerful and all-good. He created you for you to know Him and for you to be known by Him. He created you to love Him and to be loved by Him. That's what the only God has done in relation to you and to me. Brings the question up of the next verse, that the next verse answers, really. How does the only God save? So to be clear, the reason I said what I said at the beginning of this message is because our world right now, you could ask, go out on a street, I think even in Cairo, and you may get answers like, if you really press people, you may find that some people believe that there's more than one God. But I think you'll find even more people that believe that there's one God, but many ways to Him. Even in the church. And this verse clears that up for us. So let's keep reading. I'm going to read verse 29 and then continue on into 30. So turn your attention to your Bibles once again. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is He not the God of the Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also. Since God is one, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith? So beginning of verse 30 echoes what verse 29 says, since God is one. And it goes on to say, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. So two more words we need to know when we're reading through the Bible. When it talks about the circumcised, it's talking about the Jewish people. That is something that God told the Jewish people to do, to outwardly mark themselves as His people. And so the circumcised were the Jewish people. The uncircumcised was everyone else. Just as the Jewish people were that one group of people and the Gentiles was everyone else. So he's the Gentiles or the circumcised. Get myself confused. The Jews were the circumcised. The Gentiles were the uncircumcised. So he's talking about the same two groups of people in verse 30 that he was talking about in verse 29. And those groups of people make up the whole world, right? You guys still with me? All right. So we look at this and we see that God justifies the circumcised by faith. Now, if you were with us a few weeks ago, we know what that word means. Justify means to make righteous. The sinner, in order to be saved, needs to be made righteous. And the Bible teaches us that the sinner cannot make him or herself righteous. And other sinners can't make other sinners righteous. Only God can do that. And he's done that through his Son, Jesus. When the sinner places faith in Jesus alone for the forgiveness of their sins, he gives them his righteousness. Praise God. And so Paul communicates that idea in verse 30, who will be righteous, the circumcised by faith. So how does he make Jewish people righteous? He does that by faith. Faith in who or faith in what? In Jesus, right? So look at verse 22. By the way, let's pause here for a second. The object of our faith matters. People don't just need faith. Hear it on TV shows. Have faith. Everything's going to be okay. Have faith in what? Have faith in who? So we need to answer that question. The circumcised are justified by faith. In who and what? Back up a little bit. Verse 22. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. Verse 24. And are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 26. It was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be the just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So a couple of sentences down, when we say by faith, we automatically know from context that he's talking about faith in who? Jesus, right? So one of the common conversations in my household right now, maybe once a week, depending on the day, maybe like 20 times a day, is don't stand on that. Don't put all your weight on that. Don't put your trust in that object to hold you up. Don't put your faith in that object to hold you up. It won't hold you up. And you'll break it and you'll be in trouble and hurt, right? Because the object, like, go stand on the floor, sit in a chair, right? Because those things are what you need to place your faith in. Because what you place your faith in and your weight on matters. And so does it. It matters when it comes to our faith for our salvation, justification, being made righteous. We place our faith in Jesus. And verse 30 tells us that God saves the circumcised by faith. From context, we know that that is faith in Jesus. So does he just save that set of people in that particular way? Does he have another way of salvation? Let's keep reading. Verse 30. You guys still with me? Verse 30 says, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised, so that's everybody else, so we're talking about the whole world, through faith. Now, Paul just got a little bit fancy with his words here. The words by and through don't mean two different things. It means the same thing. By faith, through faith. It means the same thing. We see them interchanged all throughout the New Testament, even in this one chapter. So he saves the circumcised by faith, and he saves the uncircumcised, everybody else in the whole world, by faith. In who? Jesus. So, there's only one God, right? Question that the world is trying to answer today. Is there more than one way to that one God? Verse 30 tells us the answer. Nope. The one and only God saves in one and only way. Or only one way. And that is by faith in His Son, Jesus. Heard this story. You've heard it, I'm sure. Three blind men trying to make their way to heaven. They find an elephant, but one grabs it. Well, get to the heaven part in a minute. I messed it up. I'm sorry. Three blind men come upon an elephant. One grabs an ear, and he thinks it's unique fabric. One grabs the tail. He thinks it's a robe. One grabs the trunk. He thinks it's something else, or the leg, and he thinks it's something else. They're all describing this thing that they're touching in completely different ways. And they're all right. Right? And people take this analogy and they say, see, that man is right, that man is right, that man is right. Yet they're saying three completely different things. Another analogy people use is they say, well, God's at the top of the mountain, and this man may go up this way to get to the top of the mountain. This man may go up this way to get to the top of the mountain. And this man may take a helicopter and get to the top of the mountain. All three men got to the top of the mountain in three different ways. Therefore, God is like the top of the mountain. God's like the elephant. Everybody thinks He's a little bit different. Everybody has their own way to get to Him. And there's a lot of different ways to get to the one God. And that sounds good, and it gives some people warm fuzzies. It's like, wow, yeah. Like those people worship that way, and they call God this, and these people worship that way, and they call this, and ultimately they're all going to be getting to the same God. I just want to be explicitly clear this morning. Those things are patently false. They're lies from hell that send people to hell. God's word is crystal clear on this. There is one God. And praise God, He has made a way for salvation, and it's just one way. And if we're worried about people that are worshiping a different God, then we just need to obey our God and be sure that we're trying to do all that we can to tell the world the one way to get to Him, Jesus, by making disciples who make disciples. There's one God, and there's one way to Him. You guys with me? We need to stare this truth in the face. Stare it in the face. Live with it on our hearts, day in and day out. When we wake up throughout our day and when we go to bed, we need to hold these two twin truths close to our hearts and our minds, day in and day out. And we as a church, as individual Christians and as a church, need to hold this truth closely and hold it up and look at the world around us. And say this, if there's only one God and only one way, this means that the people I'm seeing in my family, in my neighborhood, at work, at Walmart, when I'm filling up with gas, must know this. They must know this. But the problem is, we take these twin truths and we love them, we hold them close, but we put them somewhere up in the cabinet of our mind and we live our lives. We affirm those truths, And we live our lives and we don't look at those truths in the world at the same time. We walk through the Walmart parking lot and we walk through Walmart and we see all these different people. And we never think about the fact that there's only one God and only one way for them to get to Him. And all I'm saying this morning is maybe you do this, maybe you live this way, is we must carry these twin truths. There's only one God, only one way to Him, and carry them in front of our faces, staring into them and staring through them at the world 24/7, 365 days a week. In doing that, God will grow a passion in us for sharing His good news. And what good news there is. There's one God. There's just one. He's really significant. He's gloriously beautiful. And you can know Him through His Son that He gave to the world for you. Your sins can be forgiven. He's the only one that came to us. He's the only one that died for us. He's the only one that rose from the dead for us. He's the only one that said, I'm going to prepare a place for you and I'm going to come back and get you. He's the only one. If you're listening or you're here and you're not sure about Jesus, I want to encourage you to do the same thing. The Bible very clearly communicates that there is only one God and there's only one way to Him. You may be tempted to believe something else. But if you're going to believe something else, you have to reject this. And we, as a church, as clearly as we can say today, this is the truth. With our whole hearts, we believe that there is one God and one way to Him. And so today, we proclaim to you that Jesus died for you, He rose from the dead for you, and you can place faith in Him, find forgiveness of your sins, be adopted as a child of God. So please repent and believe today. That is the way. And we say that to you, not because we want to be right and we want you to be wrong, but because we love you and we want you to know Him, the one that we know, and be known by Him. So if that's you today, you can come forward as we sing. You can find me after service is over or somebody else that you know is a Christian and tell them you're ready to repent and believe, and we'll take you to the Word and show you what that means. If you're here today, we're going to close with a song that we sang earlier, Amazing Grace. Isn't it amazing that the only God made a way for us to know Him, though we were once sinners? And while we were still sinners, He sent His Son to die for us. What amazing grace. Stand with us. Let's pray and we will sing. Jesus, we love You. God, as a church, we believe that what You said in John 14:6, You are the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through You. Father, we believe that You are the only one. You're the Creator. You are our Savior, our Redeemer, our Healer, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. Every knee will bow to You one day. Every tongue will confess Your Lordship one day. And we cannot wait. Lord, in the meantime, help us live in light of this. Every day, live in light of this. Interact with people in our lives in light of these truths that You are the only one and there's only one way to You. God, help us to have a passion for the people in our lives to know and believe that. Lord, may we live in such a way that we see more and more people repent and believe and find life and forgiveness of sin in you. God, use us, grow our hearts and our love for you.